As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yates is ready. He comes home. Adoli swings and belts one. Deep left center. Back goes Taylor at the wall. That ball is history. A two-run walk-off home run for El Bumbi. They stream out of the dugout and await the arrival of Adolis Garcia, who is enjoying his trip around the bases. He flings the helmet away, pumps his right arm, bangs his hand on his chest, and leaps into the pile.
How'd he bang his head on his chest? Great call there from Eric Nadell, the Rangers Hall of Famer on your home for Rangers baseball. One of the three runs scored in the entire series.
Four runs? Yeah.
Four runs. As yesterday, they come up short with the Wyatt Langford controversy at second base, and the Dodgers go into Arlington and beat the Rangers. I'm going to ask Sandler this question at nine. Does this feel like a good or bad series?
Yeah, I think...
because it's like a measuring stick, right?
Yeah, I think they're very close to these three games being all in their favor, and they were very close to losing all three. Because, I mean, like, that's a you're down one walk-off that Adolis hit, which, by the way, he hit it. He started pimping it a little bit, and you saw him like, pick up the pace a little. Like, that's not going quite as far out as I thought. And then he was able to trot after that. But it's a thing, I think, right now where... you feel like, yeah, we're not too far off from being competitive with this team consistently. Our bats just have to get there. It's just a question of...
but that the question is, can the bats get there?
Yeah, that's the thing. Are the bats just asleep to start the season? Are you having trouble with consistency? Or is this your offense and your offense is really bad? And I still think, look, you look at Adolis, which what's he hitting now? He's hitting 216. His expected batting average is 273 with how hard he's been hitting the ball. And I mean, even over the weekend, like you've got... various outs that he had. These were outs that he hit. 100.5. He had another that was 110.3, 110.2. So, I mean, he's still smoking the baseball when he's making contact. It's just they haven't been falling.
The staff was incredible. Rangers Nation with some numbers. A combined 1.35 ERA and a 0.70 whip against the Dodgers with Mally, Evaldi, and DeGrom. The Dodgers' effect, opening day attendance in Arlington was 37,500. The lowest attended game this weekend was 38,100 with the Dodger fans, in many instances, taking over there at the Globe.
Yeah, they're a big pull, obviously, and it helps when
Californians moving here.
It helps when Shohei shows back up for the Sunday game after initially he was supposed to be out the whole series, and then they get the surprise appearance. In fact, I've already shifted on Ohtani, so I'm not gonna start up again. But I will say that I was chuckling at the headline that was out there this weekend. I saw a Dodgers blog or something that said Shohei Ohtani was initially supposed to be out for the whole series. After the 4-3 loss, he let Dave Roberts know he was headed to Arlington. It's like
paternity.
It's probably, yeah, exactly. Shohei Ohtani. That's what he is. But it's like I think it's probably more likely. He just was like, all right, I'm actually good to go. I can come there. I don't think it was so much like we lost one game to the Rangers. Now I got to be there to save these guys for Sunday. But that's how it was being positioned, was like, what a stud. Yeah. He showed back up for it. But Yeah, I mean, just hit the ball consistently. That's the biggest thing for the Rangers. If they can wake the bats up a little bit, then this team is really, really good.
Rangers are off today, and then they'll be in California. I almost said Oakland, could be Sacramento, Vegas, I don't freaking know. They're taking on the Athletics. Starting tomorrow, 8:30 pregame, first pitch, 9 o'clock right here on The Fan. NFL draft is getting closer. College football note, Nico has made it official now. He is a UCLA Bruin, and it sounds like he's taking a loss. It sounds like an absolute misread and disaster, and you got to... new LeVar Ball involved in the world of football and sports dads.
Yeah, look, it's...
Although LeVar Ball is being remembered nicely. Like, if you look at the sports dads out there, Ja's dad, negative. Nico's dad, negative. And LeVar Ball looks like he's ended up being right. LeBron, negative.
Yeah, it's been much kinder to him. History has been much kinder to LeVar Ball than... the present day was.
Yeah.
And look, he was a ridiculous troll at the time. This just sounds like a...
What do you say about Whitlock? He's like, how you busy having opinions eating all those damn snacks you eat?
Yeah, I know the way he what was his big claim? He said, like, I would have beat Jordan one-on-one in high school. Like, I mean, he was
that
clearly...
peanut butter skin.
He was clearly just a total troll. This just sounds like bad management for Nico.
LeVar didn't mismanage that shoe deal.
No. I'll be honest, I almost bought a pair of those shoes. When I first saw the Laker colorway, I was like, I kind of want to get those. I'm glad I didn't, but I almost did. But this just sounds like really bad management for Nico.
$1 million less, and then everyone's factoring in the state tax.
Yeah, when you look at the state taxes and the other things that are going to go into his deal moving to UCLA, he's probably going to come out of this one a little bit less, like net money, than he would have had at Tennessee. But, I mean, look,
dad will spin it and say it was about the team around me.
Exactly. Yeah. And about, you know, opportunity and, you know, there's only so much you can do at Tennessee, but there's no way to spin this into a positive. It was a bad misread. It's a guy who seems to be getting really bad advice from a parent who it's like Baby Gronk. It's like he's being managed by Baby Gronk's dad or whatever. That's
Nico. Dad.
So
the New York Jets have a different version of events with Aaron Rodgers, where Aaron went on McAfee and whined and cried that he flew cross-country on his own dime to go and have an hours and hours long meeting with the Jets to figure out his future. Well, the Jets told Tom Pelissero, no, he was telling them, I'm going to be in town. I'm going to be on that side of the country anyway. Why don't you stop on by? He stopped on in, and that's when they informed him, we're moving on, see you later. So it wasn't Aaron getting off his Malibu couch to fly on over just for this 15 minutes and then fly back home. He had told them, according to Pelissero, he was going to be around that way anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least that's how it's being represented by Jets sources. This would not be the first time that Jets sources were weighing in differently than various reports that are out there about their organization.
Who do you trust more? You have to pick one. Aaron Rodgers or the Jets?
I can read them.
Isn't
that tough?
Yeah. Man, because like I feel like Aaron doesn't lie intentionally. But I feel like Aaron is such an egomaniac. Sometimes he sees things through a messed up lens that doesn't exactly reflect reality. And so he ends up telling mistruths, I guess would be the way. Whereas the Jets, I feel like occasionally will just flat out lie about something because it makes them look bad.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe I trust Aaron a little bit more. But, I mean, gosh, yeah, that's pick your poison right there.
Deion Sanders says we are a now generation as the jerseys being retired for Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Not happy with Colorado's spring attendance, but he said, look, I know that they're pleased, they're thankful, they are proud, but this is not going away. He said this is the only time in his life, and he just very humbly reminded us that every team he's played for, he thinks, has retired his jersey. He said this is the first time it's been a negative with a jersey retire, and we all know why, because the last name is Sanders with one of them.
Yeah, and I mean,
we didn't even talk about that last week. Does Shedeur, even on his game alone, deserve to have his jersey retired? Did he lead Colorado to such heights that it's jersey retire worthy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he had enough of a prolific career that I would – understand them putting him in. But yeah, immediately, like, well, you got to waive any weight. You got to put him right in. That seems a little extreme to me. I mean, look, what we've had one time in the history of college football, somebody be a two-time Heisman winner, and it was Archie Griffin. That was all the way back in 1975. He didn't get his jersey retired until 1999 by Ohio State.
But I don't know if that makes it right. Let's not just keep repeating things and making people wait forever and ever.
No, but I think, again, like we had talked about a little bit last week, it's not necessarily like a, here's a punishment. It's more just, let's get away from the fog and the romanticizing your career. Let's, after some time passes, reflect a little bit and go, was this worthy? Did you deserve it? Or are we just falling? Like, I mean, there have been times where I think in the immediate aftermath of a Rangers player retiring, Mavericks, Cowboys, whatever else, that people instantly think to themselves, oh, you should retire his jersey, or oh, he should go up in the Ring of Honor. And then as more time passes, you have people going, maybe not. Like, for instance, it felt unanimous at the time. Everybody said Romo should go in the Ring of Honor. It felt like most Cowboys fans were saying that. And I think over time, more people have got away from it and gone, maybe. I mean, I loved Romo, but maybe he doesn't go up in the Ring of Honor. That's maybe not really a fit for him. And so I still think that getting away from the fog of those feelings is important to figure out, all right, is this really warranted?
Lane Kiffin taking shots at the University of Miami.
Boy, he is such a, it's not even the, I mean, it's the University of Miami, it's Carson Beck, it's all of it. He is such a D.
Yeah.
Like he's, and he's unapologetic about it, it seems like, where he's just like, yep, this is me, this is my personality. But he got asked during press availability last week, he was talking to reporters, and he got asked about the amount that Miami paid Carson Beck. They paid him $4 million. And his response to it was, did they watch his game against us? Which, that just seems rather cold for, yeah, Lane Kiffin. But this is Lane Kiffin's entire persona. And it does make me wonder, you mentioned Deion just now. Deion, Lane Kiffin, it does make me wonder if that attitude and that sort of demeanor, the way that you approach your program and talk about others, if that's more what players are drawn to these days. They don't want the authoritarian figure like the Saban. Like, oh, that's dad, that's tough love. I mean, yeah, that's Saban getting out of it. And if that's the case, that's probably a big part of why or why not Bill Belichick will succeed at UNC, is how is that received at the college level now? But, I mean, Lane Kiffin, whose career felt on life support, what, a decade ago? However long ago that was, has managed to revive it and continues to ascend despite just kind of sticking his finger in the eye of people along the way.
John Gruden is resuscitating his quarterback sit-downs with Barstool, and he sat down with Will Howard with a little shot towards RJ Choppy's Tennessee Vols.
So now the playoffs start, and here comes the Tennessee Volunteers. It's a cold night.
It was.
In Columbus.
It was, man.
And you see these guys come roaring out of here, the SEC, the Tennessee Vols, without their shirts. And it seemed like they were trying to intimidate you guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing is they came out with their shirts on, or their shirts off, and they ran over to the opposite end zone and immediately put them back on. I was like, what the f*** these clowns doing, man? Like, at that moment, I knew we had them.
Getting a little looser there, too, with Barstool versus ESPN. What are these clowns doing? I knew we had them right there. So there's old Chucky.
It's a different era right here. Like I said, it's the players talk more confidently. It's the obviously the free agency era, essentially, of college football. But I am glad Gruden's bringing these things back, because I always felt like,
yeah,
this is one of the, when we talk about media programming or whatever leading up to the draft or to other things related to the NFL, NBA, regular season, what have you, a lot of it feels like fluff or like, oh, it's entertainment. Like, I feel like you actually learn something about these guys. Like, I've never asked a team. I should ask a team at some point, like, hey, did you guys ever watch the Gruden quarterback camp stuff and look at how these guys talk to him? Because to me, I think that there's valuable stuff in there that you can see in terms of the way that they approach things with their mindset, the things they do on the whiteboard, and how quickly they process things. I think it's great.
Peyton Russell with a miserable weekend. Bobby Belt continuing to torture a member of the G-Bag Nation. It's all coming up during Best and Worst of the Weekend. It's the commercial-free expressway, and the Mavericks season is officially over. My unsolicited advice for Nico Harrison and Patrick Dumont after having it all end the other night against the Grizzlies.
What's next for the Mavericks, and do you even care? We go commercial.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Commercial free with best and worst as well. Next on 105.3 The Fan.
Zeros on the clock. Streamers from the rafters. The Grizzlies will advance to the first round to take on Oklahoma City. Game one is Sunday at noon.
It was a beatdown over the weekend to officially end the Dallas Mavericks season. Let us know if you watched. I'm still seeking out television ratings. I'd like to know for these two play-ins what happened in DFW. RJ said it would be the lowest ever rated play-in numbers that came in, especially for the Kings game, Sacramento with that market. Well, Memphis is not a thriving market either. So I would like to know if the Metroplex really bailed on checking out the Mavs and their quest to take on the Thunder.
Yeah, I felt like that used to be readily available and you would always see it everywhere. Now it's like, yeah, you got to dig everywhere to find it. And I'm looking around right now. I still don't see anybody that's posted it. You have to get it by shady means.
Anthony Davis goes off, but of course gets hurt in the fourth quarter as the Mavs get blown out. We got the all-time epic Nico glare. You had Luka looking up to him with the Devin Booker photo with Nico just looking sick and disgusted and mad and angry. And he was probably feeling that way before the game when a former Mav season ticket holder was in the arena early with Nico standing next to Michael Finley on the floor. Well, apparently this fan had to be warned on the road, this is in Memphis, about the NBA's code of conduct. And this individual went on to tell, I think he told Grant Afsith, that he canceled the season tickets he had for 10 plus years and paid $1,000 a game. But he was sitting there behind the bench yelling, fire Nico, on the road. He got warned, and I absolutely 1,000,000,000% agree with what you had to say about Michael Finley.
Yeah, I've changed though a little. I've shifted a little.
Change over 48 hours?
Well, so like we get new information and we hear things, and so I had
Breaking news on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby Belch admits he was wrong without any buts or caveats.
I haven't said but. I may say but. I don't know. But see right there. Somebody had reached out.
I love this NBC music.
Somebody reached out to me.
Tom Brokaw, who I just passed away at the age of 88.
Somebody reached out to me and said, they're like, you're going after the wrong one. And it's somebody I am confident would know what's going on there. They're just like, that's not the guy to go after in this situation. Like he's not somebody who is just blind company. I'm all for Nico.
And oh, so, really?
Yeah, I was just told like that. That one,
he still took Luca's beer. He needs an answer for that.
He did, but I was told like that's one that
because he looks like a henchman.
He did in that moment. I think it's probably just the way it was explained to me was just
he looks like he's sold out as a company guy.
I think he's kind of exhausted and just looking back like guys, come on, do we like here too? We're still seeing it. Like it was more just an exhaustion thing. Is what? So, but I got the sense from somebody I was told that no, that's not somebody who's like jazzed that they traded Luca. That's somebody who feels like they probably made a mistake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear because, I mean, it's always Nico surrounded by two henchmen and you're guilt by association.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, it's...
Finley looks like his right-hand guy.
Carrying
out the hits.
It makes sense to me on the surface, too, of the idea of like, okay, well, Dirk has been driven away. Why hasn't Finley? Why doesn't Finley feel that way? And I think it is something where the way, like I said, the way it was explained to me is that he's not one of these just, he's not Dumont. He's not Nico. He's not Rick Welts. Just like, yeah, we did what we had to do, baby. It's more just, let's all just get through the season.
Okay. Maybe a change of plans here. Of course, it happens during the commercial-free expressway when I can't get a commercial break to read through it. But T. Rainey, one of our top Tolos, has let us know the McMahon piece has dropped. Firings, cheerleader energy, and lost trust. What really led to the Luka Doncic trade. So Tim McMahon has dropped this right now. You got Jason Kidd after the loss. All right, buy me about 30 seconds to start reading this thing. Here's Jay Kidd on season over.
Incredible season. When you look at the injuries that we've had, the change for us to even be here playing in this game tonight, it's incredible. It just shows the character of that group in that locker room, the fight, being prepared, moving on, you know, learning from our losses and also our wins. So an incredible season with the change and injuries, you know, some would say shouldn't even be here. So give those guys in that locker room a lot of credit.
What? Why are you making
this? This is going to get him destroyed, Nico. Oh, my gosh. So I'm just kind of scrolling, and I get down here, and they're talking about the firing of Casey Smith.
The trainer.
And it says that Harrison had informed Smith that they needed to meet. Smith replied that it wasn't possible to meet in person. He had gone to his hometown in Ohio to be at the side of his gravely ill mother in the final few weeks of her life. Harrison set up a video conference meeting instead, and he was fired over that video conference.
As Casey,
trust in Nico.
While he's in Ohio by his dying mother, Nico Harrison popped him on a Zoom call to tell him he was fired.
Interviews with more than a dozen team and league insiders reveal that while Luka's era officially ended on February 2nd, it truly began to disintegrate along with the franchise's culture 18 months earlier, the summer before he led the Mavs to the NBA Finals. A few days after returning to Love Field from the Hall of Fame Dirk event, and Dirk, again, loving Casey Smith. Here it is. Nico informed him they needed to meet. Man, you read a lot quicker than I do. I was like two paragraphs up right there. All right, that is not going to come across very well. The reason for the dismissal centered on Smith being, quote, too negative. According to McMahon, sources briefed on the discussion, who interpreted the vague reasoning to mean Casey was not enough of a yes man. And in that little secret meeting they had last week, Nico followed up with the replacements for Casey Smith and others by saying, we brought in better people. What are you talking about? We brought in improvements. A team source. Nico was 100% threatened by Casey. He felt Smith's voice carried too much weight with the franchise. He's going to show that I'm in charge and nobody else can question that. It was a stunning first step in Nico's overhaul of the health and performance group the past two off seasons. See, I guessed that they were so unhappy with Luka's consistent conditioning that they blamed Casey as part of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're enabling him. You're allowing him to do that. Now, Casey Smith, as we've said many times, is a world-renowned trainer. I mean, he was like the Team USA guy. Yeah. When the Dream Team and the Olympic team got put together, they chose Casey Smith to go ahead and keep them healthy. But he wasn't good enough for here. You're tight with Dirk. You're tight with Luka. And apparently Nico felt threatened over it. He said, you bringing up Casey Smith last week is almost, it's kind of a joke. Like last year, Casey wasn't around. We made it to the finals. No one brought up Casey last year. So to bring him up now doesn't really make sense. He's been away for 2 years. So I'm not even going to comment on that.
There's, like I said, we're just kind of seeing this on the air. Says dysfunction between Harrison's new hires, director of player and health performance, Johan Billsborough, and athletic performance director Keith Belton has been problematic as the Mavs' medical misfortune mounted throughout the season, sources said. And then they talk about the Derek Lively injury. Remember when the stress fracture came out, we were all just, oh crap, Derek Lively's out for forever. It says Derek Lively, a 21-year-old center who projects as a long-term cornerstone, was listed as questionable on January 20th because of a right ankle sprain after sitting out the previous two games. Under Belton's supervision, Lively went through an intense return to play workout before sitting out again that night. The plan was for Lively to play at home two nights later against the Timberwolves, but Billsborough had concerns, prompting him to send Lively for a CT scan. It revealed a stress fracture in his right ankle that sidelined the center for the next 2 months. A team source said, quote, somebody should be fired for that. This is bad. I mean, we anticipated it was going to be bad, but this is going to make Nico Harrison look like more of a cold-hearted,
petty,
just negligent,
and insecure.
Yeah, this is bad.
And some of the other longtime Mavs employees, one guy was regarded as like an assistant trainer of the year. He got nominated for that, and they were all looked at as Luka enablers. So here you go with the enable tag that's being put on it.
It says that the friction has gotten so bad, by the way, between Belton and Billsborough, Nico's two hires here, that it led to a confrontation in the trainer's room at a practice facility and continued into the weight room. Harrison did not reply to a question about the incident or several others regarding the health and performance group. ESPN submitted to the Mavs Media Relations Department this week. The Mavs declined to make Billsborough or Belton available. It said not punches, but they were going at it. One of the many sources who viewed the surveillance footage of the incident told ESPN.
All right, let's get to the Dirk part. Nico, this is Tim McMahon with the latest Mav details just dropping here during the commercial-free expressway. Nico's decision to fire Casey and the way he did it also drove Dirk away from the franchise that he proudly played for his entire career. Sources said Nowitzki, who describes himself as a Mavs fan now, opted to no longer be involved in the inner workings of the basketball operations after Smith's forced exit. Dirk had served as a senior advisor to Cuban, frequently attending practices and providing input when he was in Dallas. Well, at least this makes it sound like Dirk left on his own. They weren't like, you're not welcome here. That would have been even worse. That the Casey Smith firing led Dirk to say, I don't want to be around this.
Well, and I
that's better than...
They didn't say it, but yeah, this reads like they made moves that communicated that to him. Of like, you're not welcome here. Because, I mean, that's brutal. I don't know why does this have to be done immediately right then? Like, oh, okay, no, you can't meet. Just walk away from mom for a second, jump on a Zoom call with me.
Sources told ESPN that Smith's ouster also prompted the departure of Mavs Vice President of Basketball Communications, Scott Tomlin, another two-decade employee of the franchise who was close with Casey, Dirk, and Doncic. Tomlin accepted an offer to become the executive director of the Dirk Nowitzki Foundation. So Scott Tomlin, long time like PR, a lot of people in this building and throughout the Metroplex have worked with him. Dirk and Tomlin have attended two NBA games since the beginning of February, Luka's Lakers debut on February 10th and his return on April 9th. Dirk declined an interview request, saying, over the past year, you could already see the team heading in a different direction. Now we are seeing the result of that when he went on with his sister. So there's a little Dirk part in there on why it sounded like he wanted to step away.
Yeah, and we'll look at more of this. It looks like it goes into the specifics of what happened with Luka's last injury and how that was the final straw for them, too, of just disagreement with the training staff and problems with that. It says in here, talking about the injury, another major disagreement emerged between the sides when Doncic refused Harrison's request to join the team on a 5-game trip leading up to his target return date. Harrison griped that Doncic was holding the team hostage, sources said.
Over wanting to go ahead and rehab solo or Doncic's, on his own?
Doncic's camp argued that he was better off having around-the-clock access to the Mavs practice facility than traveling with the team, which I agree with. Like, especially if you're talking about a calf issue. If you're talking about a calf issue, generally... They recommend that you don't fly with calf issues because it can cause issues with blood flow and blood clots and different things like that. But, I mean, you know, Kobe probably did it once before. And that's why Nico did it. This is all so bad.
Klay Thompson, this kind of blew up on our morning show group chat over the weekend. Klay Thompson was asked after the Grizzlies game if he would have ever come here if he knew the way things were going to work out.
Clay, knowing what you know now, would you have made the same decision to come to Dallas last summer?
Ooh, don't do this.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that. That's kind of a ridiculous question because, like, I don't own a time machine and I don't believe in going back, looking back. If I did that my whole career, I would not be where I'm at and I wouldn't have been able to persevere through two really hard injuries. So I'm here in Dallas, and I enjoyed my time, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Look, I really like Klay Thompson's personality.
Was that enjoyed, by the way? I enjoyed my time. Like, see y'all?
I don't know. But it's not a ridiculous question.
No.
That's the argument. That's the debate. I think it's a fantastic question, as a matter of fact. Now, I get Clay's response. There's no point in saying, no, I never would have come here. And, you know, people always say, I don't have a time machine. Things are meant to be. I don't have any regrets. But no, I don't think it was a ridiculous question whatsoever. It's the question I want to, if it's the question everyone's wondering and has on their mind, it should be asked. And it was asked.
Yeah, basically.
I'm surprised that Klay actually went that strong and said it's ridiculous, because Klay's face always has like a half smile, in which I feel like he's trying to be respectful and not confrontational. But he used the word ridiculous in that. I was a little surprised he went that strong.
But I think him saying ridiculous, I think he knows everybody's asking the question, or people have that thought about him. Like, would you have come here? We've talked about it here on the show several times. I think what he's saying there is clearly the answer is no, I wouldn't have ever come here. If I knew this was the setup, I would not have come here. And you're putting me in a position to say that when that's not how I do things. I don't talk like that. So I think it's probably an issue of Klay is more like, dude, come on. It's the last one of the year. And I almost slipped out of here without this question being thrown at me. And so I still think it's fair for Tim McMahon to ask him. But I think that that's what his response is more about, is like, the answer is clearly no, I wouldn't. Do I need to say it?
Right.
Do I need to say it to you guys?
All right, let's get back into more of this at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock with the Tim McMahon State of the Mavs article that just dropped. My advice to Nico, since I know he's so desperately wanting it, we'll just have to go ahead and wait. This HOV portion of the expressway is driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. Let's hear everybody's best and worst.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Pepe, start us off, as you have now joined my team of moving sucks.
Dude, I hate it. I told McKenzie we better live in this damn house for 45 years.
Yes.
I'm tired of moving. Because moving to the rental, it was like, you know, her parents helped with her stuff. My parents helped with my stuff. So it was just half of it. Now we're moving everything, my stuff and her stuff. And we've bought stuff, obviously, in the last year or so that we've lived here. So we're moving even more crap, more furniture around. And I'm not even moving, like, the fridge and washer dryer. We're paying for that. We got movers coming in, you know, about an hour or so. So let's hope this meeting goes a little long today, because I'm not trying to go over there.
Well, you asked Tim Collins for advice. Tim has moved to every section of McKinney, it feels like five times, eight times moved in the last, like, two or three years. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how they do it. I don't know why they do it. But I feel like moving is the number one test of the relationship when, besides a medical thing, when it comes to stress and irritation. And you're judging how much are they doing. They're judging how much are you doing. And in that eighth hour, when you're tired and hungry and when are we ever going to eat, you get a little snappy and snippy, possibly.
I could tell it was getting to McKenzie some. Because you know, like, when you carry in boxes, you know, sometimes, you know, the guys can carry three or four boxes up. Ugh. I was carrying one, and she was like, I think you can stack another one on there. I was like, I laughed at it because I knew she would, when she was looking at me, I was like, she's going to say some crap like that.
Why didn't you put another one on there?
Well, I did the next time, but I made sure it was like full pillows or something like that. Something light. But I was like struggling to walk through the door and all that. But guys, it got worse last night. I didn't include this in my email because it happened around 9 o'clock at night. But because the mover said, you know, hey, we're going to move all the heavy stuff. You got to unplug everything, though. We're not unplugging fridges and washer dryer. So I had to plug everything. So I went to unplug the washer. I guess I don't know my left to my right on the water, on like the faucet up to the handle and the knob. And I guess I left the water on. And so I unplugged it from the fridge or from the washer, and water started spewing out. And of course, everything's wet. The hose is wet, so I can't hook it back on, and so water's going all over the laundry room, and I'm like calling McKenzie, I'm calling my dad, I need help, I need someone to help me out here. So my dad had to come over and help me out, but I mean, the whole place was just a mess.
You didn't know where to shut off the water?
Well, it was outside, but like, if I went outside, like, the water would then be all over the ground, because I guess I didn't, it came down to I didn't turn the knob far enough to the right. Yeah. I thought I'd gotten all the way and I didn't. So water was still leaking out, but water
and then
had
got all the leftover probably laundry, like little dust balls and little hair here and
all
there.
All the
like,
lint is all over
the
ground.
All the lint. The back of your laundry is so disgusting. And then on the floor with a nice puddle of water there.
Yeah, I'm in my socks, and so I'm grabbing, you know, whatever. Because we moved a bunch of, like, the towels and stuff already over there. So I have, like, only four or five towels in the entire house. And so I'm grabbing all that, throw it on there, and the towels are soaked now. But
so how far are you in to the move, percentage-wise? How much are you done?
Ooh, if you don't count the heavy furniture that the movers are taking care of, 90%. We got a bunch done Saturday. Saturday, we woke up, you know, around 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. We were moving stuff over there. The rain stayed away, thank goodness. Mackenzie's dad had a trailer, so we packed a bunch of boxes on there. But if you walk in our house, it's just boxes everywhere. We haven't unloaded anything yet, unpacked anything. But, yeah, we have about 90% done, and we should be sleeping there tonight.
Oh, very nice.
I'm curious about, because this is a very sensitive subject usually, just in terms of how do you handle asking people to help you move. I feel like you got to have a pretty good relationship with somebody to be like, hey, will you help me move? Because it's something nobody wants to do.
Yeah, how did you decide that? Did you think about asking Los Hombres to come on over there and lend a hand?
You know, usually they...
Hibachi Korean barbecue for everybody if they help out?
Because when other friends in the Los Hombres have moved before, people will volunteer. Hey, man, if you need help, you know, go. No one said anything to me. So I was like, I do live out of the way. I will say, you know, I'm in Rockwall. Everyone else is, you know, either north of Dallas or west of Dallas. So I get it. But you know, no one volunteered. And I was like, you know what? I can do it. It's fine.
Why didn't you tell us you were moving this weekend? Because you didn't say that. You said you had like a...
I talked about moving for the last 3 weeks.
No.
I'm getting tired of talking about me moving.
But. No, what you said was you had like 5 weeks until the next one was over. And so you said, we're just going to kind of be moving in pieces over there. You didn't say there was like a big move going on this weekend. Because I would have gone over. I would have helped you.
Bobby will do anything to get out away from his family. Anything to get out of his apartment.
But how did... When you're... Here's the thing is that when you have friends come over, there's two dynamics that I think you have to be aware of. One,
I would never have thought about. I mean, I'm glad you didn't ask. You would have wasted text information time.
If you're like inviting somebody over to help you move asking them to come over and help you move, then don't you feel like a responsibility of like, I cannot look like I'm loafing it. I have to be one of the 1 to 2 hardest working people here if it's my stuff.
1,000,000%.
And second, is the worst person at the move the one who shows up and then sort of like what Peyton did, but not quite, they go on to the truck and then they come out with like a lamp in their hand. And then you're just like, dude, you're clearly just trying to look busy and trying to get away with doing as little as possible.
Did you move a ton when you all went across the hall?
No, that was pretty quick. I was able to handle all that. That was no problem. I mean, we got that done in a day, so it wasn't an issue. But I mean, I hate the...
To me, I love having the wife, and she is... She loves all these packing shows and Condo or whatever, the Netflix or whatever, these ways to minimize packing and be so organized. She's so organized. She's going to pack everything up. She doesn't want you to touch it because you're screwing up her system. Is Mackenzie like that? Is she had to be in control of the organization? Or you guys both 50-50 have the same mindset?
Yeah, because like, you know, she calls it this vision, you know, of where stuff goes in the house. And I'm like, so
vision
like,
board?
So, like, my parents had moved one of their couches.
That was a big fake laugh,
big,
dude.
Big laugh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I didn't get it, but I was...
At least you own it.
So you don't know what a vision board is?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's very popular with, like, the... I feel like the 30s, 40s women of today to set up their name it and claim it vision board for the year.
Oh, okay. Well, she probably does has one. It's some Pinterest board or something or another. I'm sure it's the same thing.
Yeah, similar.
So, like, you know, my parents moved the couch in there on Friday, I believe, Friday night. And so I put it in one spot. And she was like, well, you know, maybe we should have it in this spot maybe. And I was like, whatever. Like to me, it's like, oh, no, it should go right there. And she has another way because she has other drawers and everything and paintings on the wall. So I'm just like, you know what? If you just tell me where to put it, I'll just do it. It's not worth the hassle.
Yeah.
As long as I can tell, you know, where my TV goes and my game system and, you know, I have like...
you should be in control of the couch, okay?
That's right.
You got to put your foot down on that.
Mm-hmm.
What is, additionally, on the idea of helping somebody, what's the reasonable payout to somebody who helps you? Is it just pizza and beer or something?
No, I think that is such a... No, it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Four beers.
What's the reasonable expectation though? Like when you go over there, you're just going over there because you've agreed to help somebody. So what is your reasonable? Like you should at least provide this as a baseline because I'm getting put out. Is it just food and
beer? Yeah, a meal.
Beer?
If it takes, you know, if it goes over lunchtime or dinner time, you know, let's go out to eat. Or it doesn't have to be an expensive place. Yeah. Just pay for my meal.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, I think so. Because I don't want to drink and move either.
See, that's the thing is that it's almost like a trick. Like, they're like, we have beer here. And every time I've ever helped somebody move, I'm like, I don't want to, I feel so beat down.
I don't want to eat a pizza and then carry your armoire.
No, yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, I don't, every time food's been provided, I'm always like, oh, cool. Well, at least there will be pizza. And then I don't eat because I'm just like,
I'd feel like I would offer, let's go out, or your next bar tab, or I'm sending the Venmo. One of them. One
just
of the
flat
things.
Out paying?
Yeah, flat out paying them. 50% off what a regular mover would be, but it can get expensive. So that's Peyton's worst of the weekend. What about the best?
The best, guys, I signed up for the physical, the appointment.
That's your best?
I think that's my best.
What an awful weekend.
Well, yeah. I guess we'll find out in a few weeks.
Getting
whenever
touched up is your best part. Well,
that's usually Chop who says that.
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't had one in almost a decade now, I feel like. I think
a decade?
I think high school was the last physical I had because I was in sports then, so you had to do it every year.
Do you not go to the doctor every year?
No, not unless I'm sick.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, every year they generally will do just a quick overview look, but...
Do you have, like, a doctor, like a designated, like, this is the Peyton Russell physician?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I go to the same place, but, like, it could be different doctors.
Okay, same place, though.
But I'm supposed to go every year and get, you know, touched up and everything like that?
Yeah, you are supposed
I thought it was just at 40 you get the, you know, the colonoscopy, and then that's it. You know, well, you're good.
The physical isn't just for, like, your... junior and high school sports career.
They want to take a look at your just various, you know, blood results, make sure there's nothing that like goes, okay, there's
moles.
An issue.
Yeah, I mean,
just,
I'm waking up every morning. I think I'm good.
Okay. And Mackenzie must be terrible at the doctor as well.
Oh, yeah.
She would have been complaining.
She
about
doesn't
you.
Go. Yeah, she's See, not a big doctor.
We're not great. RJ is on top of all that stuff. Bobby's terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not that great either, but it's been less than a decade for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, me and Kristen are totally on top of telling the other, like, you need to go to the doctor. Go to the doc, and then the other, we're not going to go ourselves. So neither one of us actually go, but we're quick to tell the other, like, you got to go, grow up, be an adult, and go to the doctor.
Best and worst of the weekend are in the commercial-free expressway.
I'll tell you what was the best, and I think Aiden has the photo up on the fan cam. After going quadruple platinum as Tupac said, and to live and die in L.A., me and Sammy, right there on the fan cam, Sam Walchuk.
Hey, Bobby.
I got you, Sammy.
hey, Bobby.
We celebrated our going platinum. We had to link up. Honestly, what it was she was...
you went and took a picture of Zach's sister. I thought this
not a picture of his sister, with his sister.
With his sister. I thought there was a chance of this being, like, superimposed.
Nope.
I thought you had, like... You'd mess with this a little bit.
No, and Zach was right behind my camera in that moment as I'm taking the selfie, and he's just staring daggers at me. I went over to his house this weekend, and when I walked in, I was greeted by his family like a hero. Because they were having, Samantha was having her birthday party over there. And so after it, she said, you guys, we're doing a family thing over here. And so I was like, all right, I'll come by for a little bit. So I went over.
You over to their Easter? Yeah,
No. This is Saturday. This is Saturday. This was just their family get together, and it was his sister's birthday. And so went over there. And when I walked in the door, I was treated like a celebrity, a king almost by his family.
Really?
All of them. First thing I walk in the door.
They were not upset or angry with you.
Nope. First thing I walk in the door, Sam says, hey, Bobby, spit that rhyme I like. Just
I got
quoted
you,
it
Sammy.
Instantly. Then I make my way to the kitchen, and Zach's like, hey, my mom's in here. You can come say hi to her. I've met her before. So I go in there, and first thing out of her mouth is, she goes, I loved your rap. Sam's part was hilarious.
Oh.
And then his dad walks up, and his dad goes, your song was really good. If you make another one, you can call me. I'll say something.
Oh!
I was like, really?
He wants to collab.
And he said, my favorite part was you said, why is one job always done by both of you? Because it's so true. And then Maya comes out, his wife, and Maya goes, your song was so funny.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And Zach is seriously just sitting there shaking his head the whole time. And he's like, a family full of clout chasers. I have a family full of clout chasers that's just desperate to get on the radio.
Yeah.
And this is what this is. And I was like, no, it's just, you know, they recognize talent, art, when they see it.
Yes.
And that's what I provided them. And so it went over really well. I might come up with another diss track just to get his dad on there. Doing like, doing the little ad libs.
He's got a South African accent.
Yeah, he does. So he and his mom, I think, are both from South Africa, but they both have like that South African accent. And so it's it was just Zach was humiliated, which is the point. In the end, I won. And they still have not clapped back. I don't think they can.
You don't think they will?
No. I mean, too much time has passed, hasn't it? Like, Kendrick Lamar was dropping songs 10 minutes after Drake. Or sometimes doubling up and dropping another one. And they can't just reply at this point. It's going to be pathetic. That was Hagee's criticism of their first song. He said, I don't think it can be considered a clapback if we're talking about it's been 2 weeks until you reply. He's okay. Like, that seems to kind of, you lost your moment to reply.
So Bobby
Same
wins.
Sort of thing.
Bobby wins. Congratulations.
I mean, that was obviously the case by when I won the G-Bag poll for G-Bag of the Day against their song, and 70% of their listeners voted for mine.
And now Pepe is reigning G-Bag of the Day?
He is, for his just confessional at the end of his hosting last Wednesday, where he just was vomiting up personal information about himself. It was very nice. Lucius is committed, I think, to seeing that win 5 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's at 3 right now, I believe.
He hasn't played a song that he did yet. And he even said on the air the other day, he's like, I've still got a song. We're going to play it. He's like, but not until this loses. He said, this is sticking around and we're getting the most out of this before I go play that song.
What was your worst of the weekend?
It was a holiday, and holidays suck. They're so stressed. So like when we're hosting anything, or when there's like a really involved family holiday of like, oh, you're gonna get family together and there's gonna be cooking and getting this ready, it's very stressful.
What do you have to do? You don't probably do
manage emotions.
Squat.
I have to manage emotions.
How so?
Because Crystal gets so tense. And
who came over?
Her brother, her mom, one of our neighbors who she's friends with, her son. So, I mean, I know we had like...
What did you guys do? What did you eat? What was the big Easter meal for everybody? I mean,
Kristen knocked the meal out of the park. It was great. So
what was it?
Salsa? She
did,
no, she did. She didn't make any of that. You saw tariffs are raising tomato prices. We talked about that. No, she ended up doing ham, which was really good. And then she makes this broccoli rice casserole that she does. It's really good. Oh. She made a corn casserole, homemade macaroni.
Wow.
Trying to remember what else is in there. We had rolls, obviously. She made this eclair cake that she copped from Paula Deen years ago that nice. she continues to make. So it was all very, very good, but it was a stressful, it's very much the, oh my gosh, I have all this stuff to get done. It's like, hey, I can help with that.
Yeah.
And then you get the, no, because you don't know how to do it. It's okay. Well then, all right, here we go. That's fine.
Best of the weekend for me was, it was our friend Tasha's 40th birthday party. We celebrated in Bishop Arts. Took the kids to a photo shoot in the blue bonnets, and then I did not pick them. I offered my son. I said, do you want one of these? Come on, let's do it. He said, no, Dad. Mom says it's illegal. I don't want you to go to jail. And my straight-laced, nerdy wife not allowing me to even pick one of these flowers. But I went out there and risked my life with the rattlesnake bites and everything and the ticks to take this family photo, and went to a Yesterland in Canton right after. So spent the entire day on this 20 acres of farmland. It was good. It was like 45, 50 minutes away. But my worst of the weekend.
Oh, no.
I got home after this 40th birthday celebration, laid down in bed, and my wife had other plans. Not the right type of plans.
Oh, I was like, this is not the worst.
My wife feeling a little sick.
Uh-oh.
And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, my left arm gets a little moist. Again, not the type you plan. And my wife is throwing up.
Oh my gosh!
In the bed. Whoa. Yeah.
And then your left arm started to hurt because you're having a heart attack from the stress.
Not the right type of shower you want to take at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's disgusting.
Shower. Have to sleep upstairs in the guest room. As the wifey, she has no self-control. She admits it. I had called an Uber from the previous place, and she's like, cancel that. We're in Oak Cliff. We're in her hood. She wants to see all the old areas. And she's like, go ahead and cancel that. And we end up at the last place, and I'm like, you know, we got the kids tomorrow. It's always going to be a miserable Sunday. And she recovered nicely yesterday, but Sunday morning, about 3 a.m., Not good. See, first time she's ever done that.
I will say, by the way, first time she's ever vomited after a
in
a
bed
night.
On me.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant period.
No, not period.
No, I will say, you mentioned there, you said your straight-laced wife with the blue bonnets. I think that should tell you how serious the blue bonnets are. Because I'll be honest, like, I'm afraid of Amanda. Like, Amanda is, Amanda's got some hood to her.
Yeah.
And Amanda will keep it real. She is when keeping it real goes wrong. Like, she's the Chappelle skit.
Yeah.
But, so if she's telling you don't pick the blue bonnets, I think that should tell you the gravity of what it is.
Yeah.
Less than just she's straight laced.
This HOV portion of the expressway is driven by Mercedes-Benz of Plano on DFW Sports Station. The second half of the Tim McMahon, Dirk Luka article that just dropped. We'll take you through it next.